Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 5. Our scripture reading comes this morning from Exodus chapter 5. So if you will stand, turn with me to Exodus 5 if you've got a Bible with you. And let's hear together the word of the Lord. We're picking up the story midstream as Aaron and his brother Moses make their first appearance before Pharaoh, make this plea, this request from the Lord for freedom for God's people. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce their quota, for they are lazy. That is why they're crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out. They said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we're told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you, for you have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials, and you have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Let's pause there and pray together. God, we confess that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. When David built his first store in 1972, the initial plan was to close the stores on Sunday so that his employees and their families, as well as his customers, could have a clear day off. But David got scared. A competitor had vowed to put him out of business. And one of his tactics, the tactics of his competitor, was to operate 7 days a week. So David opened on Sundays just to match the competition. And as the years went by, his business thrived and expanded. He gave money to charity and to the church. But his conscience continued to bother him. With one hand, he was supporting the church, and with the other, He felt he was literally working against it. For many of his employees, Sunday was the only time they could go to church or spend time with children or families. We've heard the saying, the customer is always right. And often that's sound business advice, but everything about David's approach to retailing honored this axiom, except something else was working on his conscience. Another voice said, I come before your customers. And so 2 decades later, David looked at the numbers. Hour for hour, Sunday had become his most profitable day of the week. He was selling $100 million in merchandise per year just on Sunday. And yet he prayed and he took the plunge. He decided to permanently close his stores on Sunday. And David Green says, that's when our business really took off at Hobby Lobby. Now that's not a business endorsement, but it is a reminder that there are core truths about our life and our relationship with God and with the world around them that we can't really break, but that we break ourselves against. Our fall teaching series from the book of Exodus, I've called it Rescue and Rebirth, because that is, in the book of Exodus, that is God's twofold mission: to rescue the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt, and then to give them a rebirth, make them anew. That is, I believe, God's mission for us today: to rescue us from slavery to sin and to self, to death and to the devil, and to give us a new birth, a continuing experience of new birth into the character of Jesus. We know and trust that we are saved by Jesus through faith, but we live as followers of Jesus in this challenge to live in the course of faith. We're saved by the righteousness of Jesus, yet we want to live in the righteousness of Jesus. We know that the law of God is not the source of salvation, but it is forever the course of our salvation. This interchange between Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron, then again between Pharaoh and the workers and the overseers, the servants, it's a troubling passage. There are hints of the law that God ultimately will reveal here. There are hints of the Sabbath law. We haven't yet heard of the Sabbath in terms of the law. But there is here a great power struggle. A struggle we see play out before us, but maybe a struggle we know that lives within us as well. The outward side of this power struggle is this argument, this contesting between Pharaoh on the one hand and Moses and Aaron, who present the voice of God, on the other. Hear Pharaoh's bold answer that is at once question and answer. Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Notice, this is not for Moses and Aaron an evangelistic opportunity. Even though throughout the story of Exodus, there's clarity that by the end, God's desire is that Pharaoh and all Egypt will know the Lord. But we, as we read, know that they will know him in a different way. They'll know the power of his judgment more than they will have known the freedom of his salvation. Had they only responded sooner. Had they only responded sooner. Pharaoh's question, "Who is the Lord?" is about like Pilate's question. Do you remember that from the end of John's gospel? Jesus stands before the Roman governor Pilate in Jerusalem. John 18 records this interaction. Jesus says he's come to represent the truth, to be the truth, and Pilate's answer, "What is truth?" I don't think Pilate really wanted to know that day any more than Pharaoh really wanted to know. Because Pharaoh at this point is caught up in power, caught up in self. And let's be honest, every power and every exercise of self that sets itself up against God is doomed to destruction. Pharaoh would have said, this is the end of the Hebrew people. This is the end of faith and trust. And he would have joined in the long line of people, men and women and movements, who would have declared the end of Christian faith. Our New Testament writers, many of them would have faced the persecution of Nero or Diocletian, Roman emperors, who would have said, this is the end of Christian faith. Christians across the centuries have heard the claim of Muhammad, who would say, this is the end of Christian faith. In modern times, we've heard Voltaire and Thomas Paine and Nietzsche and Darwin and Marx and Freud say, this is the end of Christian faith. And even in the 20th and 21st century, we see versions of secularism or communism or national identity movements who would say, this is the end of Christian faith. And yet we know that the movement of God can never end. Christian faith can never end because Christ is, the Bible tells us, the same yesterday and today and forever. Because He is, Christian faith always will be. And Jesus tells Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against Christian faith. Will not prevail in keeping back the advance of the kingdom. They cannot, for Christ is alive and the future is, by definition, a Christian future. Pharaoh tries to define his own terms. That's the challenge when any of us come against the rule of God or the kingdom of God. We try to redefine terms. Moses says this is about worship, about the best and highest offering a man or a woman can give to God. Pharaoh says, let's bring it down to a level I can control and understand. This is about work. This is about work. Pharaoh hadn't heard, and even the people of Israel hadn't yet heard, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. By keeping it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We see in the struggle of Hebrew slaves against Egyptian masters, Pharaoh and the masters, we see this struggle to define human value. And we know how hard this is. We don't come at this with simple answers. We know there are urgent exceptions. Medical personnel, emergency workers, many others. And this command to a Sabbath, it just doesn't seem like a practical command. Maybe it's because, in this way, the British evangelist J. John sums it up this way. He says, it's a difficult commandment because we worship at our work, and we work at our play, and we play at our worship. That seems harsh, but I think its harshness is a reminder of its truthfulness. We worship at our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. The Sabbath command is not a condemnation of work. In fact, the value of work is at the heart of the invitation to observe Sabbath and to rest from work, because we begin this commandment not really with an Exodus story, but with the Genesis pattern, the beginning of God's work. the end of Genesis chapter 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, set it apart, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. There is in the very gift of work an invitation, a deep invitation from God to participate in the world and to live in the world as God's representatives, acting as God would. What are the things God does at the very beginning of creation to which he invites us in our participation? God communicates. He speaks, "Let there be light, let the earth be separated from the sea. And he invites us to communicate wholeness and truth. God cares and protects. He exercises creativity and intelligence. He maintains and he orders. He teaches with truth and justice. In all of these things, God does them and he invites us to do them again alongside him. So there is inherent blessing in work, and yet there is also inherent blessing in rest and not allowing work to define us as Pharaoh would use work to define Israel. How do we escape this? We don't contend with an earthly Pharaoh. But how do we contend with this power struggle ourselves and find a way out through Jesus? One is to see Sabbath, to see freedom as resistance. Now that word resistance, that sounds a little bit political, even to say it out loud. But remember this, that the original struggle is indeed a political struggle, a struggle around power. Sometimes we know how to fight when we know the enemy, when we know the adversary. We must recognize that there are voices, even voices within us, that would define our worth and our contribution. The value of us taking up the space and the air that we take up on the earth by our work. Let's recognize that God is offering us something else. There is another formation that is happening. There is true spiritual formation, counter formation, that defines you not just as a worker or as a consumer, but as a son or a daughter of God. Just like Israel, that Sabbath command is rooted not simply in the struggle with Pharaoh. It is resistance, but it is a command. It is an invitation rooted in God's creation. It's a command. By the time we actually hear that command, that Sabbath commandment spoken, Israel has been released from slavery. They no longer have a Pharaoh standing over them, controlling their work. They were accustomed to 7 days a week of hard and grinding labor. And because they were accustomed to that, they may have been out of Israel or out of Egypt, but Egypt was alive and well inside of them. Inside of them. We might look back with simplicity on the fact that a century ago our work was outside, our work was defined by a factory or a place of work, and now for many of us work follows you. It's in the car with you, it's on the table, it's at the party, it's wherever you and your cell phone go. But there is in this invitation to Sabbath a reminder that time really does matter. Time really does matter. I'm fascinated with the story of Bronnie Ware. She was an Australian hospice worker. She invested most of her time with patients in the last 3 to 12 weeks of life. And in her interaction with so many men and women, she witnessed, despite the backgrounds, even the ages of those she was serving, she heard consistent patterns of deathbed regret. And she kept record of those. Number one, I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I'd had the courage to express my thoughts and my feelings. Number three, I wish I had stayed in closer touch with my friends. Number four, I wish that I had let myself be happier. Number five, the one spoken by every single man, I wish I had not worked so hard. That's a short list. And it's a list that cuts across gender, age, religious background. Those are the expressions. What about that one? I wish I hadn't worked so hard. How do we see Sabbath as resistance so that we don't end our lives with that same regret? Sabbath as resistance, Sabbath as worship. Remember, that's the beginning of the invitation. It's what God says, and it's what Moses repeats to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Send them out so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh disregards that. Pharaoh disregards that. It's the very purpose of the invitation, and it's the very center of his scorn. The people are simply lazy. That is all they want to do. How do we offer Sabbath as worship? Again, one time in a week to recognize that all of the week belongs to the Lord. One portion of your day, one portion of your morning or your evening to signify that all of your day belongs to the Lord. Jesus said it best, that there aren't specific rules and regulations, but Jesus said it best, Sabbath is made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the invitation to step aside from work and receive from God, is to know that Jesus is about this work of rescue and rebirth. Maybe my favorite scripture about Sabbath is Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that. Be still and know. Be still and. Be still. Be.